everyone. Welcome back to Angola, West Africa. I'm Douglas Black, your host. Today we have a great program for you. We had the good fortune to sit down with Mr. Hossein Kandio, the country manager for Ericsson. A really great gentleman, and we really enjoyed the conversation. We think you'll enjoy it too. You'll learn a lot more about the communications segment in Angola and what Ericsson is doing to help make it a success. So we hope you enjoy the show. But first, a word about our sponsor, High Performance Services. HPS Angola is based in Luanda and has been providing quality professional services, fiber, VSAT, onshore and offshore since 2012. HPS is fully licensed by INECOM, registered for importation, registered with the Ministry of Petroleum, and is current with tax payments at AGT, which all means less risk for you and that HPS is ready to support your requirements without hurting your reputation in Angola. HPS is fully insured to the levels required by our international clients. Angola is still a bit unregulated in many areas, so don't be fooled. Do the proper background checks and then pick HPS to be safe and sure. Based in Luanda, HPS speaks your language in Angola. Go to HPS's website today, www.hps-angola.com, for more information about their services and how to contact them. You have invested much time and money to make it this far in Angola. Don't risk your progress with an unknown. Trust HPS to get the job done right. Contact HPS today to understand how they can help your business in Angola. Great group of guys there, so please do contact them. Now, let's go on to our program. Once again, we had a great conversation with Mr. Hossein Kandio. We're sure you're going to enjoy it. So sit back and listen to our program. Welcome you back to our podcast. Today we have a very good show that I'm looking forward to. We're going to have a conversation with Mr. Hossein Kandio. He's the Angola country manager for Ericsson. And Hossein, I want to thank you very much for taking the time to come and visit with us. It's really going to be, a wonderful conversation.
It's my pleasure, Douglas, and thanks for having me.
You're most welcome. I've known Ericsson as a company for a very long time. It's a very prestigious company, and I'm looking forward to hearing about it from you. As we get started, Hossein, why don't you tell us a bit about your background and experience?
Sure, absolutely. As you said, my name is Hossein. I'm Egyptian. I'm currently leading the Ericsson business in Angola, and as you said, Ericsson is a large company that makes it a world of its own. So I've been working in Ericsson on the past 6 years in multiple leadership roles across account management, business development, strategy, and of course, technical and program management. Ahead of that, I also worked with startups as a founder, a consultant, mentor, and coach. That was a very interesting period of my life. I think it was more than 3 or 4 years. Before that, I worked also in telecom with multiple companies, including Ericsson itself. NEC, Motorola for a while, and so it's a very interesting journey across several telecom companies. In the startups world, I've been also touching on other industries, like since I was also consulting a lot from a business startup perspective, or assuring profitability and economic agility, and that crossed and spanned several industries, be it oil and field, be it hospitality, be it even consulting for consulting companies and training companies. So it was a very interesting journey, I would say, the entrepreneurship part. And the reason why I say that is that when I see a very young population like the one in Angola, I feel that's even a very nice cradle for this. I have a Bachelor of Science Engineering in Electronics and Communication, but I also hold a Master's of Business Administration and, of course, several other certifications of leadership and likewise. And I worked across maybe Europe, US, Middle East, and Africa. But I'm also very happily married, and I'm father of three boys, who I'm very happy to have them with me here in Angola.
Wow, that's fantastic! You've got a very good, interesting background, it's interesting to hear you have three boys with you in Angola. How are they finding the school there?
I think it's very well. I'm privileged to put them in one of the schools where they have also many expat or external foreigners to Angola besides Angolan kids. So it's a very nice environment where they can also challenge themselves, challenge their boundaries, and communicate more, grow in a different environment. It was actually before I moved here, the mother and I, we were discussing whether we keep the boys in their steady state with their existing setup, clubs, you know, of sports clubs, I mean, and friends and circles of family, or we challenge them a bit by moving into a new environment where they develop new relationships and new friendships and to look into integrating into a new society, if you will. And I think this is very helpful for them as children. It would open their perspectives. And they have been doing pretty well, I would say. They are really enjoying every minute of it.
Well, I am a father of twins. They were actually born in Luanda at the Girasol Hospital, and they've been into preschool in Luanda. And I agree with you. I think it opens them up to other cultures and interesting relationships. So it's been very positive for them as well. So I agree. Getting back to the interview, give us a little history of Ericsson Angola in Angola. How long has Ericsson been doing business in Angola?
Well, let me say that Ericsson is a Swedish company, as you know, and both Ericsson, both Sweden and Angola has had a very long relation. I think it's back in the 70s when Olof Palme, he's a famous prime minister of Sweden. He met with Augustin Netto and in Stockholm, and from then the relationship between MPLA and Sweden started. And I think in 1976, Sweden officially recognized Angola and opened a diplomatic representation in Luanda. I think so. It goes back to 1976 with Sweden, and during that period, I mean, I would say starting the 90s, Ericsson has been engaged in Angola, and then we established an office early 2000s. So it's a very long and strong relationship between Ericsson Angola and Sweden Angola.
Wow, that has been quite a long history there. What are the principal products and services that Ericsson is offering in Angola?
Well, as I said, we started off with the permanent office in 2001, and I think at the time we have established the first 2G GSM mobile network, and that was a fantastic milestone for Angola, I would say. And then in 2007, we have also partnered to introduce 3G as the next technology of mobile technology. And then in 2012, we also helped Angola to be one of the very leading countries across Africa to introduce 4G. And as you know, 4G, 2G, 3G are just different generations of mobile technology. The very first one, 2G, is primarily centered around voice communication primarily. We all remember the very old phones with very slim screen, if you will, and now we can see that all our phones are becoming mostly screen, where we are able to even multitask with several applications and even ask kids. They would also talk about gaming and things of that sort. So all this is being enabled by more capable and more powerful data communication connections that would enable people to do this on the move. So this has been majorly our journey. And and we have also, apart from this, we, as of now, we are also partners with the two existing mobile operators in Angola. At a point in time, we had in our portfolio fiber business where we worked also with Angola Telecom, but it was one part of the business that we had to really focus our strategy. Since you sound to be an old-timer in telecom world, the whole telecom companies across the world has been, you know, whether dissolved or they have been subject to mergers and acquisitions because they have faced some financial struggles. And Ericsson, the reason why we are always very keen on, you know, focusing on our strategy, looking on what kind of the key products, what can we do best to our clients, what things that we can let go to other partners who can deliver to our customers, but we focus more on what we do best. And that was one of the things that really helped Ericsson until this moment remain Ericsson without the need of, you know, partnering or God forbid to be dissolved. So until this moment, we have been focusing so much on the mobile technology. We let go a little bit the fiber, if you will, but we have good transmission portfolio and where we enable data to be transmitted wirelessly. So we focus more on the wireless and mobile communication.
Okay, and that to me, that makes sense. Now, I recently saw a press release about Ericsson assisting Unitel in upgrading their network. Is there anything you can say about that that can be made public?
Yeah, absolutely. I think Unitel is a fantastic company. I mean, it's a pride for Angola, the amount of effort that has been done in the country, but also the amount of competencies and skills that are available in that company. And I'm very proud to have worked with them, and we have signed an agreement to help them expand and evolve the network for the benefit of Angola. I mean, at the end of the day, telecom infrastructures are a very strong assets of countries. They enable economies to boost, they enable people to communicate, they enable enterprises to connect and share information and even become more connected to outside foreign customers and so forth. So it's basically a three-year agreement where we are able to evolve the network to the 5G technology and even enable Unitel to launch services quickly and improve the network performance to meet the users' growing expectations. And I have to say that this is just a very important effort by service providers to make sure that they continuously try to uplift their network to deliver the best network performance. Because as it is, you know, the usage and the subscribers' requirements and their expectations are growing with time. So You always, service providers have to always upgrade and uplift and further power their networks, both from capacity perspective, but also to make them much more open and much more capable to embrace new possibilities for the countries and for the subscribers.
Very true. And as you know, in Angola, at least in Luanda, there's a very large community of expatriates. So they're familiar with the Western world services and networks, and so they're going to be demanding similar services and reliabilities from the networks in Angola. So, yeah, that's going to be pushing the carriers like Unitel and Movistar. Now, you talked about 5G. Of course, that's getting a lot of press around the world, and everyone is looking forward to that. Is there a time frame for 5G to roll out in Angola? Have you seen anything in regards to when that might be available?
Basically, 5G is a very critical evolution, just like the others, like when we stepped from 2G to 3G to 4G. And I have been part of the evolution of each of those generations. And at the time of each step, you always face the kind of the early adopters, whether from the subscribers or from the service providers, and the ones who would rather take, you know, the train a little bit later, if you will. And 5G itself as a service is not for mass adoption from the start, if you will. I mean, at the end of the day, it's a service that is evolving the fourth generation by providing higher throughput so that it can enable applications and increase capacity in metropolitan areas for consumers and even for higher bandwidth for enterprises even. So one of the very key applications that we have been seeing across the world is fixed wireless access, for example. Maybe more than 70 to 80% of all the operators who would launch 5G would go with fixed wireless access, which is like more like replacing fiber, if you will. And that highly depends on also a calculated business case, because we are also bound with an economic formula that it makes sense that such application or such generation is invested with care, so that eventually the service providers are able to turn the formula to a profit. Because otherwise, if it doesn't turn into profit, then it will not be a worthwhile implementation, because then they will not be able to expand it to the extent that is needed. There are other further applications also that would be around, for example, IoT and like smart cities, smart manufacturing, and so forth. So for Angola to enable all that ecosystem, you need so many activities to happen, starting with the regulator to make sure that the right spectrum or frequencies are available, so that the service is launched and the performance is guaranteed, and the evolution of that service is enabled. There has also been conferences all across Africa to promote for this, for the right usage of the spectrum. And then the second part would be more of the business case of it, and what areas an operator or service provider would be interested to launch in. And for that, I would actually leave it more to Unitel to confirm on.
Okay, very interesting. You brought up a point that I really hadn't thought about, and that's the fixed wireless access. That's very interesting. And in many locations, the last mile is the hardest part to obtain and to make reliable on these enhanced services. So very interesting. Now, you talk about the regulator, Hossam. Does Ericsson have any interaction with Intercom in regards to future regulations?
Yes, we are available, and we have delivered a few presentations about capabilities and possibilities. And we sometimes use it front end with Intercom, and other times we use it towards our partners, which are the operators who are primarily the first hand communication towards the regulators in Angola. We also organize twice a year yearly conferences where we bring in regulators from all around the world, and we for the past maybe year and a half now, this has been done virtually. So we invite the regulators, including the Angolan Intercom, but it has been done now remotely, virtual, where they share experiences, they discuss critical trends, and even talk about policies and what their plans is, and what they discuss topics of common interest, if you will. And then Ericsson also steps in to help liaison and kind of enable the discussion to get the best out of also, so that we get experiences as also as a vendor to see how we can also develop our products to satisfy the needs of the regulatory institutions.
Okay, very good. Now, as we all know, there's been a press saying that there's going to be a third operator appearing in Angola. Have you had any interaction with this new operator?
Generally speaking, in countries always try to enable more competition in the market, and it's healthy competition. It can be good. The critical thing is that profitability has to be enabled. So that eventually it becomes a very good formula where subscribers are able to get the best out of the service, to get it in a very fair value, but also so that service providers are able to achieve the profitability that would enable them to maintain a good network performance. AfriCell is an operator that is available in Africa, in few other countries, and we have worked with them outside Angola, and still, they will be launching in Angola as per the regulator within the next year or so.
Okay. Now, in other countries, when you talk about profitability and the cost of entering the market, is there, or do you think there will be tower sharing in Angola? Is that a concept that's being discussed in Angola at this time?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's a topic that requires an infrastructure in place, if you know what I mean. And definitely when you find, usually this is triggered with new entrants. And I think it's a good opportunity that would enable, you know, an entity to step in, establish towers, and then share it amongst operators. But, you know, it's a tricky formula where maybe existing operators can see it as a competitive advantage for themselves, while newcomers might want to leverage on and share the costs. But in different countries around the world, we have been part of infrastructure sharing in different shapes and forms. We have been working with independent tower sharing companies. We have been working with operators who lease part of their infrastructure to make sure that they reduce their operating expenses, if you will. And we have been even taking lead on even active sharing, as they call it, which means that as if Ericsson is taking control of a whole mobile operator infrastructure and sharing it between different operators, as if they become more of virtual operators, or even can take a little bit more equipment to be less virtual. But it's as if comes to not only towers and antennas, but goes up to switches and radio equipment to be also shared, and we have technologies that would enable that, and we've seen it in many countries.
Yeah, I think for competition to really grow in Angola, tower sharing is probably going to be required. Now, I've done some traveling in the interior in Angola, and I've visited some tower sites, and what's interesting, and once being there, it's not a surprise, but in many tower location, there's no electrical network available, and they run 24 hours a day on generators to provide electricity. Does Ericsson get involved in that, or how do you see that in terms of affecting the reliability of the mobile network in Angola?
Yeah, when you talk about Africa generally, I think energy is a very critical component, and even in other locations where operating expenses are required to be diminished. So definitely, I mean, at the end of the day, sharing infrastructure and making sure that we provide power solutions that would enable more efficient usage of energy is instrumental and not an option for operators to be able to manage their expenses. Majority of the operators, they have the OPEX or operating expenses as a big component of their decisiveness of how much profitability they are able to make. So I think we, Ericsson, also provide technologies in that sense. We are able to provide, whether from solar infrastructure to technologies that would even, you know, switch off radios when they are not being used, so that we can decrease the amount of power usage, whether it's from the grid or from generators or from solar even. And then we go even to to usage of how do you call it, like managing the generators and the fuel supply to it. We have technologies and intelligence to help also kind of anticipate when energy or fuel has to be provided, so that we decrease also the amount of trips. So it's not only the energy, but it's the whole ecosystem that is managing the operating expenses around the site. By providing fuel, or by cleaning solar grids, or by making sure that batteries are capable and being charged in a proper way, and charged in a proper way that would enable its long lifetime. And so there is so many possibilities there in managing operating expenses on the site, and Ericsson has very good efforts there.
And for our listeners that may be in the United States or Western Europe, this is something that's not extremely high tech, but it's extremely important to the operation of the network. So, you know, where they live, having to schedule diesel deliveries way out in the middle of nowhere, monitoring batteries. I mean, they have these guys that they live on site as guards for a week at a time. It's just a situation that most of our listeners in the Western world just, you know, they never encounter. So to hear Ericsson is addressing some of these things is extremely interesting. Now, from you've been in Angola for quite a while now, and what have been some of the challenges that you've seen to doing business in Angola? I have my opinions. I've encountered some things, but what has been the challenges that you've encountered?
Yeah, I think rightfully, as you mentioned, every country or every terrain, every business, every family, even they would have their own challenges. But when I came to Angola, what really amazed me was I felt a little bit of a brain drain that happened due to whatever reasons. But I felt that so many excellent Angolan experts might have left the country in a period of time or whatever, which made a little bit Angola, despite having a very long time, more than 20 years in mobile networks, that there isn't that large base of highly, highly experienced resources in mobile networks. There are definitely fantastic experts as they are now, but they are being utilized. But then I'm more talking about large base of highly experienced resources. But on the opportunity side, I think the flip side of that there is lots of many fresh young talents that are very eager and hungry to learn and really pick up well. So I think that's more on the flip side. So I think it's more of managing the brain drain. And I don't think it's only Angola suffering from this. I've even seen many countries around the world that were suffering from brain drain, and how they, you know, even discussed how they can turn or flip the coin to their benefit. How can they make sure that such experts are provided with encouragement and incentives somehow? It doesn't have to be monetary expense incentives or whatever, but how would they be engaged to want to stay in the country and make more happen? Another aspect maybe, and I think is just because Angola is a fantastic country of being the second oil producer in whole Africa, and that makes the economy highly dependent on oil. And again, it's that we have seen in many countries that would have a very high oil production. That in Angola, big portion of the GDP is dependent on oil, maybe 90% of the exports or so. That makes the economy a little bit subject to oil price swings, or, you know, macroeconomic conditions get so much implications with the trade balance being affected and the hard currency availability. Maybe that would affect maybe a little bit the foreign currency availability for critical imports. But again, on the positive side here, I've been seeing since I have come very sincere activities from the government. I've been meeting with APEX, and there's so many activities trying to diversify the economy, especially in the agriculture domain. And again, countries are big tankers. They do not move in a blink of an eye. It's more like very sincere and strong efforts that would eventually make the ship steer in the right direction.
Now, I agree. And talking about the brain drain, in other interviews we've had on the show, we've talked to executives from other Angolan companies, and many of them went away and spent a lot of time in Europe and got their education and worked there first, and now they're coming back to Angola. So hopefully that's a trend to where the people, the well-educated, trained people are seeing opportunities in Angola coming back. And I agree. I see a sincere movement by the government in trying to create opportunities here in the country. In fact, next week, we plan to have an interview with APEX. You talked about that, to let them talk a bit about what they do and their services. So very good points. Excellent points that you just brought out. Now, in terms of Ericsson and their products and what you're selling in Angola, how do you do product support within Angola, Hossam?
Yeah, we have a mix always in not only Angola, in all the countries that we operate. We have a mix between local resources on the ground who are able to provide first-hand support to our customers, who are able to rush to sites and help assist with ideas, with workshops, with even product support and enabling projects execution. But also we rely also on making sure that the central knowledge and competence gets disseminated into the countries where we operate. And that happens in two ways, whether with remote support, but also with people flying in to be part of the teams for whether short period or extended period of time. So we have also whether expats or also people who come for projects fulfillment. And that is usually very, very useful. And I personally have seen that extremely beneficial from many aspects. It helps diversity. You get people from different corners around the world. You feel like you're working in the UN, if you will, with many nationalities, with people from different perspectives, carrying different experiences, but also whether coming from the hub of Ericsson with a very strong knowledge of the products and services, and that helps also us bring the knowledge and the experience at the door of our customers, but also it helps a lot in developing our local teams so that we make sure that local teams and local competencies are able to get groomed and get developed. So I think that personally I appreciate as I have been appreciating as an engineer when I started, but also as a leader within the company. And I get across similar reflections from customers in different spots around the world where I have served.
Okay, well, that certainly all makes sense. Now, you talked about people flying in or to provide short-term support or for longer term. Do you find getting visas for them, or is that problematic? Is it relatively easy? Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, I mean, it's an ambition, and it's not only in Angola. I've seen in other African countries where, you know, that there is always a strive to make sure that country accessibility is enabled for investors, but also for competent resources who would come in to perform professional services. And I definitely, Angola, just like many other African countries, and when I say Africa, because I feel more of Africa now, we have in Ericsson a special strategy created for Africa called Africa in Motion. And this is why, because we believe that it's not like one size fits all strategy. And this is why I more refer to Africa, that accessibility would really enable many of the countries to support and develop resources, but also to develop to bring in competencies who would help transfer knowledge to customers, but also deliver superior services. But having said that, I would say it's usually monitored. Like you can ask, how, for example, in a country like UAE or Dubai, when people apply for getting a work permit, how long would it take? I mean, they have been enabling this very swiftly. And I think we in Africa, it's a good example where eventually also we don't want to lose a lot on replacing local talents by people who are coming from abroad. And I think that has to be balanced also because, and I think it's a good formula. Eventually, companies working locally, I presume at least this is what we're doing in Angola, is that we believe is that we always want to maintain a local context here, because that is the employees who would always maintain our connection with the local environment, with the local operators, and so forth. So I fully understand the challenge, but definitely there is a way for improvement there.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I think, the really good companies, they find ways of providing training and transfer of knowledge and bringing the young population up to speed, because they will be the company of the future and providing the employees of the future. So extremely important. Now, Hossein, I heard you talk about Africa in Motion. Can you say a little bit about that? It's the first I've heard of that.
Yeah, we have brought this initiative for many reasons. Is that Ericsson for quite some time maybe has been focusing on more developed markets like the US and Europe and maybe the leading companies in Asia and Middle East, but we found that Africa is a very large market of need, of where we have been seeing and foreseeing a major technology shift, and that the economies in Africa are in big need of communication to enable the development of the economies, to enable the capability growth in Africa, and to enable also the development of the social environment and the economy at people level. So this is why we thought about customizing a strategy and even customizing products that would be brought into Africa to make sure that, again, it fits the Africa context, if you will. We see that, there is maybe more than 340 million people connected to mobile broadband across sub-Saharan Africa. And we foresee that within the next 5 years, this number will almost double. There is so much technology growth in Africa and so much possibilities to come. I would say that we are seeing also mobile traffic growth across Africa by 50% year on year. It's growing by every year. It's by far the fastest, highest growing growth rate of mobile data usage. And I think a couple of years back, connected to this initiative, we also launched globally entrepreneurship and development application competition. And I can remember a couple of years back, a team from students from Senegal has won this prize on a global level. So few engineers from Senegal came on top of the whole world with an application that they have developed, and where we groom afterwards in Ericsson and try to enable for them the global context for making it happen. So I think Africa really has a lot to do, and this is why we have been adopting this notion.
Well, that's great. I applaud Ericsson for realizing that. Many of my friends and family that still live in the United States or in Europe, they have very poor knowledge of Africa and what are the countries and the situation economically, socially. It's sad, but I'm really happy to hear that Ericsson is taking this initiative. Now, one question that came to mind while you were talking about the numbers of users of the network, do you think that it will continue to be predominantly prepay, or do you think there will be a migration to postpay, or is there any way of knowing?
I think prepaid for many, I mean, here in Angola, it's mostly a prepaid market. And again, we go out of that context in Ericsson to enable operators not to think like that, but more to enable flexible business models to their subscribers, so they can provide a mix of both services as much as they want. Maybe you want a certain service to be delivered in a postpaid manner, while you want another service to be on a prepaid fashion. So I think it's more that we enable operators with that mix. So and this is why we call it conversion charging. So it's a mix between prepaid and postpaid. For example, we think that, for example, IoT kind of application, which is like smart cities, subscriptions for enterprises, that probably will be predominantly postpaid. So I think it all depends on the business model, and our role as a business enablement company is that we provide marketing and salespeople at the operators with the tools that will enable them craft the business model that we best suitable for the application being used and for the target segment, be it consumers or enterprises.
Very interesting. Very interesting. Now, my experience has been, in many cases, the network can move forward and introduce new products and services, but the back end processes that do order entry and billing always lag, and they're the ones that really impact the time to market. Is Ericsson also looking to help the operators with the back office systems that will enable the new products and services on the network?
Absolutely, and you've really touched on a very, very important aspect here, which is more of digitization of the business support systems. We have portfolio that will enable both the radio and the switches and the packet core network, but also would extend to the whole billing cycle and the customer acquisition and even managing and maintaining the relationship with the customers, in the sense that you are able to, as an operator, to make sure that maybe customized offers are being developed on the fly to the target subscribers. Because, and even we have something called analytics and operations engine that would enable even sometimes very, very customized offers to be sent. For example, I hear that dog is a very high usage, has very high usage of mobile internet while being at home, and that happens to be mobile internet of YouTube. So there are possibilities that marketing people can develop a certain business rule that when this happens and a subscriber that is seen like that, that automatically this subscriber is contacted by the system to promote for a certain marketing offer or sales offer, like a subscription on YouTube for a better price or for a certain volume based on the type of usage that you have. And when you, that's the whole thing, is that you have to free up the time of marketing people to more like orchestrate such offers and such, because then with more analytics and more insights, then the whole marketing and packages experiences would be more customized and tailored to each subscriber and their usage, rather than being a one size fits all. And that would enable actually operators to bring much more revenues, but also to satisfy more of their subscribers by delivering customized services.
That sounds really good. So, in effect, when I look at Ericsson as if I were an operator, you have solutions that run from the base station to base station controller to central office to back office. So, basically, you're a full enabler. I mean, they could come to Ericsson for the full package. It sounds like that to me. Am I correct?
Absolutely, and even going up to operations and management. So we many times support operators into how they streamline the processes and how they have like their toolboxes for managing the network. We can support with this, but also we have very large footprints across the world where operators really want to focus more on the marketing aspects of the business, and they even outsource to us operations of their infrastructure. So, and it can happen on different layers. Whether we run with blended teams, part of the team coming from the operator and part of the team coming from Ericsson, but other times we take the full control of the network and make the operator more focusing on the economic and financial aspects of how to run the operator business and better satisfy the subscribers.
Okay, very, very good, very good. Now, is there any plans to do any form of manufacturing or assembly in Angola?
It all depends. That's usually, I've been in many countries where this very, very same question comes up, and I think I always connect it to the objective or the ultimate goal that we want to achieve. I know that many countries in Africa are interested to show being part of having manufacturing or assembly, but I think again we let's more focus on the goal and what we are really trying to achieve. I think operators, if you talk to them, they want to have more cost-effective infrastructure where they are able to bring the service with the least investment possible. But also they want to be able to have very quick lead times for making this happen. And as you know, from a manufacturing perspective, the more consolidated the manufacturing factories and automated they become, the more both objectives are achieved. We have now lots of our factories are AI enabled or are artificial intelligence enabled, where we try as much as possible to streamline the manufacturing process to make sure that we achieve the best cost advantage to our customers. But also from another perspective, when we have such major manufacturing capabilities spread around the world, in very selected locations where volumes also happen to be there, or it's like logistics advantages, not necessarily from having the logistic infrastructure, but also from a geographical location perspective. Then we start also stationing supply hubs around the world where we try to make sure that we are able to dispatch equipment in the fastest possible time, but also to streamline also the equipment and transit, because it's a very quickly in evolving technology. So it does not really make sense to pack so much stocks of a product that maybe 6 months down the line you will find a better one. It's exactly like the phones. You don't want to stock too much iPhones or whatever type of Android or product that you want, and then probably the next running product will come 1 year or 6 months down the line. So it's a little bit of a complicated formula, and I would say if the purpose is if the goal is would be achieved, then definitely I don't see a reason why that would not be done in any country.
Okay, now that makes a lot of sense. Now, a side question to this, have you seen any challenges to the importation of technology and equipment into Angola? Has that been solved? Getting the technology and equipment in Angola in time for installation or support or whatever
Yeah,
is required?
I think it's just like many other countries and many like the visa processes we have mentioned. Usually, when you talk about border control, it's a very very vital and very critical aspect for governing entities in any country. And I think There is a process, and what companies need to do is to follow the process. Any process in the world would need to be optimized. The whole point is that maybe it's about the target that needs to be put and where the country wants to be. So generally speaking, I would say as long as we have been following the process, but also predicting the timelines and making sure that we that comes to the satisfaction of the operator, then we don't have a problem with that. But whether the operators really want to crash that time more, I think, to satisfy the rollout time plans, I mean, that would be an aspect to discuss definitely with the government. But as it is, we as a provider, we try as much as possible to lay down the whole process and make sure that we attend diligently to each part of it to make sure that we achieve the timeline.
Okay. Now, looking at competition, is Ericsson facing a lot of competition in the market in Angola? I really don't know.
Competition is very healthy. I mean, in whichever endeavor in life, even if you're running sports, if you play tennis alone, or if you want to, you know, be the best soccer or football team in the world, and then you don't have a contender, it becomes more of a boring game, right? And I think it also decreases the amount of innovation and the amount of motivation even on the job. So the telecom market, or maybe the mobile market, is a very small market, I would say. It's not too large, whether from the service provider's perspective, because they have to really achieve scale to be able to provide such a service across the territory of service, but also to be able to achieve profitability. So they have to achieve a certain scale and profit to be able to maintain the network. And that makes them by themselves very limited. And then we go to even the vendor landscape. It has been proven that too many, many, many vendors. When I started off, maybe I could have chosen from maybe, I don't know, 20 telecom providers to work for. And now I think the number is becoming less, and there's more focus on software level of application providers who would provide certain services. So globally, we have very known competitors who, whether happen to be newcomers or happen to be part of a group of operators that came together after facing a little bit of a struggle. But I think bottom line, it's very healthy, and it helps both sides to, it helps us as a company even to prove how good we are, because when you are a contestant and you find a competitor, then you show how really good of a performer you are. But also it helps us, you know, to be motivated to be even better and to further improve and further excel.
Very, very good answer. Now, looking forward in the next 2 to 5 years, what do you see to be the key strategies or directions that Ericsson needs to be taking in Angola? Have you thought about that? Is the company considering their direction in the next 2 to 5 years?
Absolutely. That's a very recurrent topic of discussion where we revisit not only Angola, but in many of the countries that we operate, and we also tie it to the Africa strategy also, that it's very, very critical that we make sure that we enable and support our operators to deliver the best performing networks in the countries of operation. Because for us, this is becoming, like a utility. It's like, water pipes, like electricity lines. Telecom now is becoming, and mobile networks is becoming, a necessity that you can even feel it. If you lose the phone one day at home, you feel like a little bit lost, that where is my calendar, where is my emails, where is my messages, can people find me? And of course, it needs to be balanced on an individual level so that, again, people can manage their stress level, but also manage their times of leisure and also manage the amount of exposure that kids would be fronted with. And that's a different aspect, but I'm just saying it just to balance the equation. But bottom line, it's not an option for service providers to provide high-performing infrastructure that would be suitable for the services and for the subscriber ambitions. So this is the first thing. And we enable this by making sure that we bring in the best experts in Africa. We're not sub-optimizing on that. We try as much as possible to get people who have been part of previous implementations so that we do not kind of experiment here. This is not a landscape of experimentation. This is a landscape of knowledge transfer. So make sure that the people who are brought in bring in value both to our customers, but also to help transfer skills and capabilities to our local base here. And the last one is definitely maybe to help the whole ecosystem, because the telecom business or the mobile business is not a silo. It's more of a whole ecosystem that includes, you know, subcontractors, that includes partners, it includes government agencies, subscribers. So again, trying as much as possible to have a role in that whole ecosystem, and whether to enable by sharing knowledge or sharing best practices. I'm very, very proud of something that we have been doing lately of increasing the health and safety awareness in our subcontractors and our partners who work on the field. Because for us, doing a job is one thing, but helping a worker get back safely to his or her own family is of utmost importance. And that comes from whether they take the car or the truck, they drive up to the location. Driving is extremely important, and it includes the practices and the safety measures that are taken in attending to the job, climbing, you know, a tower, or attending to any critical power grid or whatever. I mean, I have been very, very happy that we have been putting this practice in Angola. We are even ranking providers in that sense. We are awarding businesses based on that, and even giving red cards for those who do not comply, so that they feel the penalty of it, so that, you know, again, there is a reward for people who would work with Ericsson as long as they, and that is an example of trying to really bring value to the whole ecosystem, not just focusing that the job gets done.
Fantastic. I applaud Ericsson for those efforts. You know, I've been involved a lot in the energy sector, and their programs of safety and health are just extremely rigorous. And whenever we have people working offshore or working in dangerous areas, helping them to understand and get the training and come back home safely is extremely important. So congratulations. That's it's very, very important. Now, as we're beginning to wrap up here, I have a question that I always ask our guests, and interested into hearing their responses. When you want to relax and when you want to get away from the pressures of the job and just be a tourist within Angola, do you have any places that you can recommend or that you like to go to that helps you to unwind?
Yeah, Angola, to me, I will deviate a little bit. I feel that Angola is less advertised for, if you know what I mean. I think there is fantastic attractions. I have been to several, but again, the COVID has restricted me to go to further. But I can recommend the top one, at least that, you know, my family here keeps on nagging every weekend, going to Caboledo and going to the surf beach, and enjoying a very relaxing time, and it's fantastic. The sceneries again, the it's not populated. It's very natural. It's very even the people are very decent and nice. Whether you go to small villages around, where you meet very, very kind people and very, very promising youth, I would say that just are waiting for more opportunities to be availed, I would say. But also, you know, how much nature and how much, you know, you can see, whether from animals, if you stop by the nearby park, or you go to Caboledo itself. And then the more closer one would be Mosulu Island. Of course, it's very nice, especially the scenery towards the Atlantic. It's very nice. Again, Angola, I would say, is a travel destination that is less advertised for, and just a little bit of logistics and safety, if that is provided for assurance to incoming travelers, I think it will become one of the top destinations.
I agree. And having been to Cabo Ledo several times myself, I can reinforce what you've said. It's a great place to visit. You know, they have places you can stay there. The food is good. The beaches are fantastic. So I concur completely with that. Misulu, I like very well. The problem I have is my wife doesn't like boats. So getting over there for her is a challenge. But very good recommendations. And anyone that visits should try and get there as well. Also, I agree with you. Angola is certainly can be a great tourist destination. It's undiscovered. And I think tourism within Angola is a market segment that has the opportunity to grow quite a bit over the next few years. So thank you very much for your input. I think excellent, excellent places for people to visit. Now, as we're wrapping up, Hosang, is there anything that we haven't covered that you think is important that you would like to bring out, or have we pretty much addressed the important topics that you would like to talk about today?
No, I appreciate it. I think bottom line, what if you allow me, because I have a little bit of a good heart feeling towards Angola. It's a country where I have now stayed for more than 1 year and a half, or close to 2 years now. Where I have, you know, drank from the water, I have eaten from the food, and my kids have been spending fantastic time here. I feel this country is a fantastic country. The people are super nice, and it's just there's so many things that can be enabled in this country. I think there is lots of opportunities. I would say it's just the youth needs to be enabled more with more tools and more possibilities to grow and to maybe enable more of conquering the space of innovation, especially in applications development, or even conquering the world of agriculture, where there is so much possibilities for this country. The amount of water that is available in comparison to other African countries, the quality of the soil. I think I hold so much passion for Angola and so much hope that Angola will be in the quadrant that it deserves. I mean, it's a fantastic country with very nice people. My heart really goes out for so many people who are looking forward for an opportunity to develop or become fantastic people. And I think it's not too far away. It just needs an orchestration from many of the players that are available here.
Very well said. I'm very happy that you brought this up. I and my family agree with you. Whenever we're away from Angola, we always are wanting to get back. As we say, mucho saudades para país. There's something there that really grabs a hold of the person and makes you want to do well there and to grow there. So, no, I agree very much. Well, Hosang, it's been a great conversation. Once again, I want to say thank you so much. I know you're very busy, but thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us today. And I hope that some point in the future we can have you back on and you can tell us about how the 5G is going and how the future plans of Ericsson is going in the country. So once again, thank you very, very much.
Thank you so much. It's my pleasure. And thank you for having me. And I wish you all the best. It's a fantastic program. And it's been a pleasure and privilege being here with you.
Thank you again. And we look forward to having you on here in the near future. And hope you
Same
have
to
a great
you.
Day.
Thank you so much.
Wow, what a great conversation. I told you it was going to be good. What a great gentleman, Mr. Hosang Kandio, the country manager for Ericsson. Really enjoyed talking to him. I hope you enjoyed the conversation and learned a lot more about the communications market in Angola and what Ericsson is doing to make it a success. Remember, if you have 4G, 5G needs, or anything in regards to mobile, contact Ericsson. I'm sure they can help you. Well, this is Douglas Black, your host on Angola West Africa. It's been great spending some time with you. Hope you like the program. Hope you tune in next week. We're trying to have a conversation next week with someone from IPEX, the Angolan Agency for Investment and Importation. So tune in next week. We'll have a good show. Hope you have a good week. Be safe. get your shot, wear a mask, and we'll be here again with you next week. Bye-bye for now.